Welcome to another life-changing message preached live at Hope City Church. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired by God's word to live your best life yet. So get ready to hear from God as you enjoy the message.
And give two more people a low five. We've got low fives as well. That's good. Then you can take your seats. Good. How you doing today? Good. Give me a wave if you are alive. If you're alive, I think that's like 80% of people in the room are alive. This is good. This is good news. I will pray for the other 20% as we go raise some of the dead. That'd be awesome. And if you don't know, my name is David, and I mean, it is David, like it is. It actually is. My name's David, and I'm a lead pastor here at Hope City Church, along with Lisa, my lovely wife. We are one church in, I don't know how many locations we are. 10 to 11, 12, I don't know. It's going up all the time. And under the senior leadership of Dave and Jenny Gilpin, who started Hope City Church 22 years ago, came over from Australia with nothing apart from a bun literally in the oven, and started a church from nothing. And now here we are, here they are. There's Hope City in Sheffield with, I don't know, 1,000, 1,200 people, something like that. You know, place, people all over the place. Some guy's just gone to Kuala Lumpur, starting a church out there. And we're going from strength to strength. So welcome to church. It's not just about us here, but it's about, we're one big family. One big family, and this New Republic is on this Friday. That's the whole church family, all the young adults coming together in Sheffield for an incredible, incredible time. If you aren't signed up for that, and you are within the age bracket, then I don't know. I think you probably should do. I think there's people in the room that are not in the age bracket that really want to be in the age bracket and signing up. Saying, oh, I wish I could go to that. I get to go. I'm outside of the age bracket, but I get to go because I'm a pastor. So I get to go, and I'll have a good time. So don't miss out. Don't miss out, because one day you'll be going, oh, I wish I was going to the Young Adults Conference. No, so go to it, okay? We have other conferences that are for everyone, but don't miss the opportunity that is in front of you. There's a rule for life. Don't miss the opportunity that God has for you. I wonder if you're like me, right? And sometimes you think, I don't know if I fit in. Do you ever have that? I don't know if you've maybe felt it this morning. You'll go, I don't know if I fit in. Maybe you're new, in your new situation, any new situation can be a little bit scary, can't it? Because you don't know. What's the etiquette? What's the rules? What's the standards? How do we talk? What's expected? You know, you don't know when you go into a new thing. But even sometimes, so it's not necessarily a new thing, it's something we've been around a while, or a situation we've been around a while, or maybe just all the time. Maybe there's one or two people here who all the time you feel like, I don't fit in. Nobody gets me. I've been through times like that where I think nobody at all gets me. I think probably most people at some point struggle with that thing. Nobody really gets me. Nobody gets me. You know, I'm trying so hard to fit in. When I started university, and some of you had just started university, when I started university, I struggled a lot to feel like I was fitting in. I was like, I just didn't. And actually, in fact, I felt like I was hiding everything about me, because I was so like not like the average student. When I went to university, I went when I was like 22, so I was kind of like too old to be like an 18-year-old and too young to be a proper mature student. So I was sort of caught in this thing, I don't know what I am, I don't know where I am, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And so I was a little bit older, and I was a Christian, right? And nobody around me were Christians on this course. There wasn't anyone else. And when I first got saved at 19, I was like, oh, I'll tell anyone. Let's go for it. I'm all up for it. I don't know what happened to me in the intervening years. But by the time when I was 22 and at university, I was like, I couldn't tell anyone what my life actually was. I actually was a bit scared if they asked me, what did you do at the weekend? Because I was like, oh, I'm in a church, you know? And maybe you struggle. Maybe you think, oh gosh, oh, actually that's me. And so if I struggled, then, you know, maybe some of us are in the same boat. So when we struggle with stuff, we struggle not just being saying, I'm a Christian, right? But actually just letting out who we really are and feeling like we're fitting in. On top of that, I did a foundation year because I didn't have the proper qualifications. And so I did a foundation year. And at the end of my foundation year, I got married. right? So that's good news. And but not many students, not many of you on, you know, you're on your course and you get married partway through, don't you? And then I started, I remember starting the first year proper, and one of my friends, I mean, I hardly knew him. He was like this person that I sometimes said hello to. But that's what amounted to my friends at university, was just the guy I said hello to. Hi. Okay. And he looked at my hand and goes, "What's that on your hand?" I'm like, "It's a ring. I got married." And I just felt like I just couldn't tell anyone about anything because I thought nothing about me fits in here. And it wasn't just at the beginning. It was just all the way through while I was there. I didn't finish university. You all finish university if you're university. I didn't finish university. Not because I ran away scared, but because actually, literally, me and Lisa did get called to go to Bible college and all that stuff. But that's another story, right? But I found myself feeling like, I don't fit in, and I struggle. And we all, I think from time to time, we're struggling. Sometimes we're all over the place, wanting to be accepted, but afraid that we don't fit the criteria somehow. Or we make out like we don't actually care. You know, you don't fit, and you make out you don't care. I don't care. I don't care what people think. I don't care. It's all right. But actually we do, don't we? That's why we have to do the shimmy. I don't care. We do care. That's the thing. And God cares as well. God is not wanting you to live an isolated life or a not fitting in kind of life. He actually wants you to find your fit, to be at ease with yourself, to be at ease with who God has made you, and to fit in. And this message today, actually I'll give you the title. I don't often read out the title, but I'll read it out because then it's going to be correct on the podcast. So, this message is called A, Insert Your Name Here Shaped Hole. Okay, because you may have heard people talk about a God-shaped hole. You know, there's a God-shaped hole in every person, and this is true. But I think in this church, and this applies to quite a few people probably, in this church there is a insert your name here shaped hole. Because God's made you to fit in, and actually the church is an incredible thing where people who don't naturally fit can find they fit. People who don't naturally fit together find that they can fit together. And people who think, "I don't fit anywhere," can find that they can fit into the body of Christ. He does an incredible work that fits us together. And that message, this is what this message is about today. Let me read some Bible to you. Have you got your Bible with you? If you've got a Bible with you, right, why don't you pick it up and open it? That'd be awesome. To Romans chapter 12. And if you ain't got it, there's a big digital Bible that is going to come up on the screen for you. And I'm reading from Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and then verse 4 and 5. Are you ready? I think, who was that? Actually, it was ready. Laura is ready, everyone. That's good. Because law is ready, I'm going to crack on. Romans 12, 1 and 2 and 4 to 5. He says, so, this is Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Rome. He says, so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you. That means this is important. So I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. And we'll come back and explain that a bit in a minute. Because I will give my body to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. How many of you would like to know God's will for you? I love this, right? Because it says that God's will for me is good and it is pleasing. And it is perfect. Some of the things, God's will for my life is probably just difficult, you know, probably takes me away from the things that I would really like, and it's a bit tricky, right? But actually, it's good. What God has for you is good, and it is pleasing, not just to him, but to you. And I pray that we would all discover God's will, and it's perfect. What God has for you is what is just right for you. Just right for you. And if God can change the way that you think or I think, then we can learn to know what God's will is. I want to learn to know it, not scrape around for it, thinking, where is it? What is it now? What could it be now? But if God can get into us and work in our heads and maybe change the way we think about ourselves and about our lives and change our perspective, then maybe we can learn to know God's will in an ongoing sense, not in, I knew it yesterday, I wonder what it is today, but actually that we can have an ongoing sense of direction and momentum and fitting in to the purposes of God. Verse 4, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function. So it is with Christ's body. This is talking about you and me. Each part has a special function. We are many parts of one body. We're parts of something. You're not a pew filler. You ain't just turned up for a service. You are part of something. And if we can realize, oh, I am actually part of this, then maybe that can change something of the way we think. It's not, I've just got to, I don't know if I fit in. I don't know if I've got a place. I just come to church. You have a part. Let me tell you. You have a part. You are an important part with a special function. You may not have discovered it, but I think together we can discover our special functions. We are in one. Oh, it just finishes there. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. It's like we're not just fitted together. It's like we belong to each other. We belong together. God wants to do something incredible, build a community of church that will be a representation of even what God's like. You know, God from all eternity has been Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all having a lovely time for all eternity. And he says, you know what? I am community, and I want to reproduce something of that amongst these people so that the world can see this is how you do life. This is how you do family. This is how you do community. You have a vital part to play in the future of his church and the future of this church if this is where you belong. Amen. So, give your bodies Christ. You know, there's an incredible package, right? Called you, right? You are an incredible package made up of how you look, your personality, your giftings, your story. You're an incredible package. And sometimes we think, well, God just wants what I can do. You know, God just wants me to do something. Just do something. You know, and I've got to do something for God. God is actually interested in you and who you are. And sometimes we think, well, God's done something for me through Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus, and Jesus died for me and paid for all my sins. And now I get to know God. And now I go on and I'll do things to make God happy. I don't know. A lot of people still think that is Christianity. They still think it's right. You do something for God to make him happy. You know, if we do what's right, we'll make God happy, we'll be accepted. Well, he's already accepted it. It's not that God's done something for you, now you do something for him. That's not the truth. It's now God's done something for you, and now he's going to do something through you. It's not he's done something for me. Now I'll do something for him. No, he's done something for you in order that he can now do something through you. This is what God wants to do. We don't want to try to please God, but actually allow God to now work through our lives. We can spend our lives trying to earn acceptance, trying to fit in and find our worth. And I would say that can stop right now. My prayer for you, my prayer for all of us, is that we would be able to stop from today, stop just trying to fit in. Stop trying to find acceptance from others, because Jesus Christ accepts you. He has accepted you completely, 100%. You don't have to do anything to change to gain God's acceptance. You have it now. Turn to the person next to you and say, that is good news. See, Jesus accepted you, so this isn't payback time. This isn't, oh God, I'm going to pay you back. No, I want to know that the life of God, and I want for you the life of God to flow from heaven, from Jesus Christ, into your spirit, through even your thinking, and out through your life. And it's 100% all the time. I'm just relying on what God's done. I'm going to operate with that. I'm going to agree with that. but the source of my life is Jesus Christ. Hope City Church is not trying to get something from you. We're interested and invested in you becoming all that you can become. Because that's the heart of God. He's not into getting something from you. He's into getting something kind of to develop out of your life, develop something with you, do something through you. That's what we are about, invest in you becoming all you can be, discovering and knowing the will of God, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Good. There's a U-shaped hole in this church, as I have said. If we're a body and we all have a function, we're all members, then there's some place that we fit, not just to do a task, even though serving and all that stuff is right, but actually just to be who we are. The gift of you to the church is an incredible gift that will bless others, that you will find yourself blessed. If you never had a thumb, right? If you'd never had a thumb, and you'd never met anybody with a thumb, you'd never seen anyone with a thumb, right? You'd just accept, you wouldn't even be thinking, I wish I had a thumb. You wouldn't know there were thumbs. You'd just make do with fingers. Am I right? Nobody's ever heard of thumbs, right? You'd just make do and you'd be like writing like that and whatever. And you'd be kind of trying to lift things. It'd be difficult, but you'd get by. And you think, I'm a pretty good job. But I think that sometimes it's like, well, that's church. Right? Because we're doing okay, right? We're doing all right. We're doing pretty well. Church is growing and people are raising up and things happening. Some lives are changing. We think, well, this is good. But maybe you're the thumb, right? That we never knew we needed, right? Because suddenly, if you suddenly had a thumb, you'd be like, whoa, I was doing all right with just my fingers, but now I've got thumbs. Man, look at the things I can do. I mean, we were okay, weren't we? But now I've got thumbs. I can hold my pen like this. I can do that. Well, look at this. My life has changed. And maybe if you discover your feet, if you actually say, this is my body. This is the church I'm part of. I'm gonna fit in, find my place. Then suddenly we are able to operate much better. We go, whoa, we thought we were doing okay. But now we're doing really okay because you got stuck in and said, I belong. I think that's true. I think there are hundreds, nay, thousands of thumbs, fingers, arms, legs, just in this city, right? It's like that will actually help us function as we are supposed to function in God's eyes. God's got a vision of what the church will be. He says, you're doing okay, guy, but you're a little bit, you've got a few limbs missing. You've got a few parts that are missing, right? But you're doing okay. You're doing the best you had. But actually, you're going to discover there's a whole load of other limbs and fingers and thumbs and parts. And I would pray that you would find your part. If you struggle to fit in, if you're fighting all your life to fit in different ways, well, I think there's a perfect fit to be found in his church, not just to do something, but this is where you actually find, I can't fit. God accepts me. I want to pray that you find that people accept you, that people encourage you. We're trying to build a house that represents the heart of God. And I know we don't do it perfectly, but our heart, I believe, is in the right direction. And I think even with your help, we can actually get better at what we are supposed to be doing. Amen. So I just want to tell you, right, because there is this U-shaped hole in the life of church, and maybe you're fitting it in, maybe you're kind of half in and half out of it, but I want to give you just a few things in the next 15 minutes, right, just to help you to fill the U-shaped hole in the body of Christ. Is that okay? Can we do that? Okay. Well, the first thing that you need to do, the first thing, and it's all from this Romans chapter 12, right? I'll pull a couple of other verses in, but this is all really from Romans 12. It's just Bible study this morning. Just turn to the person next to you and say, this is Bible study. Bible study. Bible study. First thing you got to do, quite simple, right? You got to pull for the team. Turn to the person next to you and say, pull for the team. It's good. It's good. It's good interaction. I like it. Romans 12, verse 3 says, this is Paul saying, by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself or herself. But it's probably more the himself that did this, right? Just earning brownie points. I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Whenever it comes to this time of year, The Apprentice comes on TV. And whenever The Apprentice comes on TV, it finds its way into my messages, right? Because how many of you watch The Apprentice? Do you watch The Apprentice? I really like it. It's funny. It's frustrating. It's annoying. It's these guys, they're going to, they've got Alan Sugar, and you've got 20 men and women, and there's one role that Alan Sugar will give, Lord Alan Sugar, to you. And there's one role he'll give. He'll invest £50,000 or whatever it is to be a partner in business of one of these people, one of them. And there's 20 of them split into two teams over the course of this this TV program. And this is, it's not right, right? Because they're in teams, but nobody is pulling for the team. No one's pulling for the team. The only reason you want your team to win is so that you can last long enough to get rid of everybody else. That's saying, hey, we're saying don't be conformed to the way of the world, right? That's the way of the world. It means I've got to fight tooth and claw in order to win, in order to get what I deserve or get the best that I can. I've got to fight tooth and claw. But God actually says, no, you pull for the team. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. And all these guys, it's so funny. I'm like, have they been fed these lines? But every single one of those candidates do their little bit to VT, and it's like, I could sell sand to the Arabs. And like, I am the best salesman. I am the best salesman. And it's just all this kind of bravado. I'm a terrible follower. I'm just a leader. Like, oh no, this is going to go bad, right? And eventually, normally, actually what happens quite often, not every time, but quite often, one of the nicer guys finds their way through, certainly into the final. That happens quite a lot. It's not always the nicest person, right, that wins, but often it's not the ones that are going, I'm the best salesman, you know, I've got a million great ideas, I don't know, I've had this success, that success. It doesn't seem to work that way. But why do we sometimes feel that we've got to big ourselves up? Why do we sometimes have this thing where we think, I've got to let everybody know how good I am? You've got to search. I'm in situations and I have to fight the urge to tell people how well I've done in a similar area to them. You know, when someone else is telling you about their achievement and you have a similar achievement. Isn't it? Sometimes this is just like, oh, well, I have also. In my experience, I also have found that, you know, you kind of have this thing where you feel, I've got to tell them, I've got to know. And sometimes you think, if I don't let everybody know how well I am, I'm doing, how good I am, and all this stuff, if I don't let everybody know that I've got it all together, and then somehow I'm going to miss it. I don't think that's not how God seems to work. You don't need to big yourself up. I mean, you've got to celebrate the good times, right? Celebrate the good times. Don't be miserable about the good times. Celebrate with somebody, right? But you don't have to big yourself up and let everybody know just how well connected you are and what you've done and blah, 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 and just have this thing where you think, I've got to let everyone know. You don't have to lift yourself up because Jesus is already, well, he's already lifted you up, right? He's already said you are pretty awesome. He's already said, knows what plan he has for your life. I love this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, and this is from the Message translation. Well, it's not really a translation, is it? It's a paraphrase. It's just in case anyone comes up and says, Pastor, that is not a proper translation. but verse 6 and 7 of the Message, 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7, says, so be content with who you are. I love that. Be content with who you are and don't put on airs. God's strong hand is on you. It's a strong hand. Shh, they won't know we're here. It's good, right? Good. Be content with who you are. Don't put on airs. God's strong hand is on you. He'll promote you at the right time. Maybe that's a word for someone. Because you've been fighting for promotion. You've been fighting. You've got to put a CV out there. You've got to do all that stuff. You've got to. But I love this. Live carefree before God because he is most careful with you. Don't you love that? I wish and pray that we could all live carefree before God. about our future, about our promotion, about our part. Live carefree before God. His strong hand is on you. He's most careful with you. So don't substitute what he has done for a cheap and faulty imitation of waving your own banner or thinking no one's going to notice me. If I don't, someone's going to notice. Well, first of all, God notices, right? I like this, right? Even if you lead a team, you're still on the team. That's like in the world. You say, once I've arrived, some people change, right? Power changes people often. I think we talked about that in some of our connect groups this week. The power changes things. No, I'm everybody's buddy. And then you get the power and you're like, wait, now we're going to do it my way. I've been waiting for this moment. I've just been crumbling in the corner thinking, if only I had the chance, I'd do it so much better. And now you do it. And now you got it and it goes to people's heads. And like, no, we're still on the team. Even if you're leading the team, you're still on the team. Even if you're the boss, you're still working together towards the same vision as when you weren't the boss. So pull for the team and you're more likely to get raised up anyway. You think, why don't I get promoted? Well, unless there's a promotion for you, why don't you be part of the team? Play as part of the team. Work as part of the team. Mark chapter 9, 32 to 35. This is Jesus and his disciples. He said, after they arrived at Capernaum and settled in a house, Jesus asked his disciples, what were you discussing on the road? It's one of those moments. They didn't answer. Gosh, when Jesus asked a question, because it's like, I guess, right? I'm sometimes like that, right? If I'm in a situation with our senior pastor, Dave Gilpin, right? And this is a gang of us, and he asks a question. Who's going first? It's not me. I don't want to get it wrong. That's how they are with Jesus. So, guys, what were you discussing on the road? It's like, it's a trick question. Does he actually want to know? Is this about something else? Is it spiritual? Is this real? What? Dude, you tell him. Oh, that's what we were discussing on the road. I'm not telling him that. I'm not telling him. We were talking about who is the greatest. I'm not putting my head on that chopping block. You go, Timothy. God. You know. They didn't answer because they'd been arguing about which one of them was the greatest. He sat down. He imagines. Oh, God. Just literal. Okay. Called the 12 disciples and said, right, whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else. And I bet most of them were like, oh, yes. Yeah. And you think, how can you be the servant of everyone else? How can we have that attitude? How can we all do that? Is it everybody just try and make everybody a cup of tea at the end? You know? If only we could be the servant of everyone else. Just take a list. Just get your notebook out. Go around. Everyone, coffee, tea. We've got cappuccinos now. Cappuccino. Hang on. What were you again? And just go around, everyone. Try and serve everybody. Or we can have the attitude of, I'm not going to try and raise myself up. I'm going to try and see someone else raised up. I think every single one of us, wherever we're at, can be less concerned about, am I going to get raised up? Am I going to get noticed? And start to think, I want to see someone else. I want to see someone else lift up. Because I can do that. And you can do that in whatever you're doing. You can say, oh, I'm going to raise someone else up. I'm going to see someone else. I don't care if I'm the greatest or who is the greatest. You know? Who cares who's connected to who? Who gets to talk to me or Lisa? Who gets to talk to Pastor Dave Gilpin? Who cares? You know, it doesn't matter. You look to raise someone else up. You see someone else do well. You be a voice for someone else rather than thinking, I wish I had a voice. Why don't you be a voice for someone else? Why don't you see someone else lifted up? And then I think that's how you find a fit. And actually God says, well, I can slot you into place rather than you fighting for your place. Why don't you give someone else a place? As well, if you want to fill the U-shaped hole, here's the next one. I think God wants us to beat our personal best. And the word beat, you can split in two, right? You can say beat. If you split it in two, be at, right? So you want to beat or be at your personal best. It's not particularly clever, but anyway. And Romans 12, verse 6 to 8. This is revelation for some people. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Turn to the person next to you and say, you can do certain things well. And Don't say it with a hint of sarcasm. There's certain things that you do well. Certain things. I'm trying to encourage you that there are definitely things that you can do well, right? Not, oh, there's certain things, dear, you do very well. Okay? This is an encouragement time. And so, if God's given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with much faith as God has given you. Not now, right? But maybe at the appropriate time. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God's given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. If you've got a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Because some of us think we can't get anything right. Something I just don't get anything right. And you so focus on the little bit of what you didn't get right that you miss all the things that you're getting right. We do that. I do that. So that was all good, but there was this one bit. You know, even on a Sunday, I go, oh, that's a good preach. That was good. And I go away. And all I think about is the one thing that I wish I hadn't said, or I wish I'd said it differently. You know, or the bit I missed. It's like, oh, no. And I'm thinking, everybody's thinking about that sentence. They're all, oh, they remember they said that. I didn't quite agree with that. You know, that's kind of how our heads go. We just forget that we were doing so much right and well and with the right heart that we think, oh, there's just this thing. And that becomes everything about it. It's like, I can't get anything right. I can't do it right. Well, God says, you know what? By the grace of God, there are certain things that you can do well. You have a gift. You are gifted. You are gifted. It is a revelation to some of us that there are something certain that we can do well. But I think often in life, often we discover what we can do well by just aiming to do whatever is in front of us well. If you can just have an attitude of, well, there are certain things I can do well. God has graced me. And maybe we don't know everything. I think there's some people, you kind of know some of the things you do well. You know some of the things you don't do well. But I would guarantee that you don't know everything that you can do well. Sometimes we get, you know, boxed in off, I think this is all I can do. And then if we're not doing that thing, then we're like, oh no, but I don't get to do that thing that I do so well. And then you just say, oh, I'm so frustrated. But I find that if you aim to do well whatever is in front of you, then somehow you might discover there are some things that I don't do very well. But you also may discover there are some things I didn't know that I could do well, that I can do well. Maybe that is encouraging someone. Maybe that's a more specific gift. Maybe that's just me in this situation is a real blessing to people around me. You don't know everything that you can do well until you just decide, God, I'm going to do well whatever is in front of me. And if I do that, God will get me into the things that I can do well. Amen. Nobody just handed me a microphone and said, get up on the stage, Dave. You probably can do that well. It did not happen. In fact, the first, I don't know how many times, that I did have a microphone and stand up in front of people, I thought, that wasn't done very well, right? Maybe there was a glimmer of something, but often we think, oh, we quit and we give up on stuff where we just say, just keep going, will you? Just keep going. Do not give up. Do not give up. I think if you do well, aim to do well what's in front of you. And church should never be the place where that'll do will do. Because God says, hey, do it well. Take the responsibility seriously. Do it gladly. So church should never be a place that's like, well, that'll do. That'll do. We've got to do the best we've got with what we've been given. You know, we haven't got £1 million to spend on every single aspect of church or whatever. But we can try and do well with whatever we've been given. And then I think God does something. Because God is not the God of that'll do. He's the God of life in all its fullness. He's the God of more than you ask or imagine. He's the God of all things are possible. He's the God of cups that run over. And we want to reflect that in our lives. Romans 12:11 says, never be lazy. Never be lazy. Right? And I'll just note that it does not say never have a break. Right? It doesn't say never have a break. It says never be lazy. And laziness is a decision to live at less than your best. It's when you've actually decided, I am gonna live at less than my best. I'm gonna put in less than my best. And I think if you want to find your fit in life and in church, then the decision is I want to put my best foot forward. It says work hard, never be lazy. Work hard, serve the Lord enthusiastically. It's okay to have some enthusiasm in the house of God. It's okay. Okay, thank you, Amelia. And slightly Steve. It's okay. It's okay. Hey, whoever's playing the guitar, Eduardo, you can come and the people know I'm about to finish. Serve the Lord enthusiastically, which is from the words that mean God breathed. It's part of our witness, our energy, our life, our passion. There's stuff, yeah, there's areas of team where we need guys on setup, we need people on hosting, we always need people. And, you know, we'd love you to be part of the team. We'd love you, if you haven't filled it in, to say, oh, I want to be part of the team. I'm going to do something well. It might not be what I thought I could do. I don't think I can do, I've never done the sound before. I've never done that. I don't know, how can I do it well? Well, someone could train you. And if you have not got the ear for it, someone will help you find something that you are good at. You know, but sometimes you don't try, you don't find out. And even now, as I was writing those notes and thinking, oh, never be lazy, work hard, serve the Lord enthusiastically, I thought, well, maybe there's one or two people in the room that when they hear work hard, don't be lazy, do it well, do it all well, every little, do it all well, did you just kind of go into a panic mode? There are one or two people who just go, you've heard me say that, you're like, Oh no, I need to do more. I already feel like I'm completely worn out. So I recognize that. Because some of us just need some restoration. Maybe this isn't the time to go, rah, let's run at something. But actually you do need some restoration because you're burnt out. You burn out on life and you burn out on stuff and you burn out doing what you've been trying to do. And maybe you've been burnt out trying to fit in, trying to find your place, trying to find your role, trying to find your direction. And for you, God would say, look, just rest in me. Be renewed in me. Be rejuvenated in me, because there's stuff for you to do. But gosh, he wants to restore you. He's interested in you, not just what you now come and offer to the house. I'll give you this one last thing and then we'll pray. Is that okay? Can you handle five? Can I do 5 minutes? 5 minutes. Lisa said yes. So we're all right. If we're going to find our fit, then there can be no fakers. No fakers. Romans 12 verse 9 to 10 says, don't just pretend to love others. I think this is like, whoa. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what's wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Why do we do everything that we're doing? Why do we get a guy up to play guitar at the end of a message? Why do we put banners out? Why do we have people on the hosting? Why do we use media? Why do we do what we're doing? Oh, because it's nice. That's nice. Because it's all right. It's to have a banner. Banners are good. People can read the banners. They know if information. Banners, information, media. Because everyone's got like computers and medias, and you don't want to be left behind. Because everyone's got medias, so we better have medias. Everything we're doing, and this can sound like slightly cheesy, but I'm going with it, right? Everything we're doing is because we love people. Everything we're doing is because we love our city. I don't personally know everybody in the city. So I love you. It's not like, so I really love you. I don't know you. I love you. You know, I can't go around and tell everyone I love them and pick out a specific bit of praise, right? For every single person that says, I really love you. Oh, love you. It's not about like this, just out of knowing someone, but it's out of the love of God. I think God's heart would reach out through us to others, because God loves everyone. God loves the city. Why do we do it? We're trying to create an environment that speaks of God, that creates a space for people to come and discover that God does love them, that God does love you. Why do we put someone on the door because to greet you and say hi, welcome? Because maybe you've never had anyone. Maybe there's someone who walks in the door who's never had anybody smile and say something nice to them the whole life. Maybe for the last year, maybe for the last month, maybe for the last week, so that when you walk in the door, you meet someone who's got something nice to say to you and something good to bring to you. Everything we do, media says that, we're not stuck in some history. We're here and now. We're being contemporary in order to communicate to people who are alive now, not people who are alive 25 years ago. People who are alive now, because we love people who are alive now. So we want to say, hey, look, we are actually living in the real world, the world that you live in. We love people. That's why we do what we do. It's because we love with the love of God. God's put his love in us. Celebrities love their fans, don't they? So we go, I've got an award. Oh, thank you for my fans. I couldn't do without you. I love you. I love you. I love you, fans. But we're called to love our enemies. We're called to love our enemies. And we don't go around going, to anybody, you're my enemy. Jesus loved everybody. He treated everybody precious and loved. We're called to love those who don't love Jesus yet. All religions are not the same. And there's so much fake love around. Some of us have fallen prey to it. Some of us have maybe become addicted to it, where we're under the power of something or someone that promises to make us feel valued but ends up draining us of self-worth and yet keeps us chained up. Maybe you've been like that in cycles of relationships or cycles of stuff. I've known plenty of people, and it's not love, but somehow you think, I'm getting value from this, I'm getting something from this, and yet all it does is actually in the end drain you and keeps you chained in, while God wants you to be absolutely free from that. Going back to that person or to that cycle of relationship, you don't need it. Love is pretense when it's purely in order to get something from you, and when it's in order to gain an advantage. 1 Peter 1:22, having purified yourselves by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Love is pure when it's seeking the best for someone else. And love is best when it's shared. But God's love starts by reaching out with no absolute guarantee of return. You know, a cynical world needs a whole lot of genuine love. We live in a cynical world. Maybe you, yourself, you just got a lot of cynicism about life, about relationships, about God, about church. Well, I think maybe God just wants to do something right now, even in your life, that he would actually show you, and maybe even today, somehow, some way, he's been speaking into your life and showing you, actually, there is love that is pure, there is love that is genuine. And I'd love to pray with you right now. Why don't we all just close our eyes as we come to a close? And today, maybe you struggle to fit in. You say, I really struggle everywhere I go. I'm struggling right now to feel like I could fit in. I hide my life a little bit. No one really sees. Maybe that's you. Or maybe you've been hurt, let down by people that you thought, well, this should be people I find my fit with. And you're thrown in with people and so this is good, and you've been let down and you think, and you've been hurt by that, and maybe that's created a reluctance to connect with people or connect with God. Or maybe you've experienced a lot of what is not genuine love. Maybe you've been hooked into it and you said, actually, I just want genuine love. On the love of God. Maybe if one of those things relates to you today, just those things I've just been chatting about there,
Why don't you just lift your hand where you are? If you'd say, Dave, oh, yeah, just pray for me. That's me today. That's me today. It's great, his hand's going up. It's okay, no one else is really looking around. I'm just seeing. That's good. Don't be shy, because this is not for me, this is for God. Just keep your hand up and I'll pray and say. Maybe 10 hands, it's good. Father God, why don't we all lift our hands right now? Because I see that with you guys. Father God, will you just pour out your love right now? Father, for every single person, especially who's become connected to what is not genuine love, and that's hurt. Father God, I pray that you just show your love right now. That you refresh the heart, that you heal broken hearts. God, you are the healer of broken hearts. Your word says you're close to the brokenhearted. You're not distant or distancing yourself. You're drawing near right now. Right now, you're drawing near. For every single person who says, you know, I struggle to fit in. Father God, I pray that they'd be at peace with themselves and at peace with you. And Father, that new confidence would come in, Father God. That Father, every single one of us, Lord, in this room would feel, I don't know, comfortable in our own skin, but that's because we know you, not because we're trying hard. Father, I speak to over every single person who's been fighting hard to fit in, fighting hard, think, where's my place? Where's my part? What am I supposed to do? Father God, I pray right now that the battle would stop. Father, and just the surrender. Oh, Jesus, I'm offering myself to you, not to do something for you, Lord God, but so that you could do something through me. Why don't you just in the next 15 seconds, pray your own prayer. I think this is a good moment for every single one of us to say, God, I'm just, here I come, the whole package, all of me into your hands, Lord God. Thank you for what you've done for me. Jesus, work through me. Fit me in place. Some of you, your thumbs that we never knew, we didn't have, and you're going to get fitted into the house of God from this moment. You're going to find your place. God's saying, you're going to find your place. You're going to find this is home. As you put your best foot forward, you're going to discover that there's stuff that you didn't know that you could do, that you can do, and you're going to do well. And there's just something about you that other people need. I'm speaking out over somebody today. You need to know that there's something just about you, not about your giftings and your talents, just about you that other people need. If that's you today, just receive that. Just thank God for it. And just as I really do draw to a close, I've got to do one thing, right? I've got to give you an opportunity. If you don't know Jesus Christ, or if you have done, and you've walked away from that relationship, and you're coming back, saying, I'd love to come back to relationship with God, then I'd love to pray a quick prayer. I'll pray a line, you pray a line, and we'll all pray it together. But it's basically saying, forgive me for going my own way, God. Thank you for what you've done for me. Now I want to know what you can do through me. If you don't know Jesus, you can step into relationship right now. Or you can step back into it. So I'm going to pray. And we can do this quite strong. It's a little bit of a nice little melody going on in the background. And it feels a little bit chilled out. But we can do this strong as though we mean it, okay? So pray this after me if that's you. And we'll all pray together anyway. Father God, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you that he loved me. That he always loved me. And that he gave his life for me. That he took all my sin and shame upon himself on the cross so that I could know you. I could walk in relationship with you and I could experience what you want to do in me and through me. Forgive me for going my own way. I want to go your way. Cleanse me from the inside out and lead me in your ways. Fill me with your spirit. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'd love to hear how God is working in your life through this ministry. If you've got a story to share, email us at mybestlife@hopecitychurch.tv. And why not join us this weekend for one of our weekend services? For details of a service near you or for more information about Hope City Church, visit us online at hopecitychurch.tv. See you next time.